The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Yesterday I went for a walk in the mountains here nearby, and walking in the redwood trees, and came to a beautiful place where there was a redwood grove. These redwood trees are quite tall, and the grove is kind of like almost like a clearing. There's no trees, and then the circle around them is all these tall trees going up. And it was quite lovely, especially looking up and seeing these tall trees. But what was what made it so vivid and so kind of inspiring was not just the trees, but was the empty space between the trees. This clearing, the openness, the space around it that was somehow framed by the trees. And there were times that my eyes weren't looking at the trees, but we're kind of resting in the space between the trees, and it was very restful and inspiring, and somehow freeing to have my eyes kind of just in that great space. So when in our lives or in meditation practice, sometimes we discover something comparable to that, a space between things that can be inspiring. Sometimes the space between things needs to be framed, needs to be somehow defined by something that holds it or defines it. Sometimes if it's just open space, it's sometimes not seen. So what happens in our minds is that, like with our thinking, we're usually thinking about something. I don't know if any thoughts are about nothing, because even there's just a subject, you know, to our thoughts, subject, maybe a subject, object, and verb or something. But as a subject, you know, and the subject is the object of the thought is what we're thinking about. And then there's a subject who's having a thought with it, which is me, myself, and mine. And so that relationship between the object, the concern we have when we're thinking about, and then us as a subject is often quite entangled, and can be very, very enticing, and can feel like that's the most important thing in the world. And some thought concerns we have, are very, very compelling, and we get pulled into that world effortlessly. Because, we find ourselves kind of lost in thought and thinking about things and ruminating and planning and remembering and fantasizing and analyzing and doing all this stuff, but it's always about something. And so there's a way in which we live in a world of aboutness. The primary world we can live in sometimes is that world of what the thoughts are about, what our concerns are about. And even if we're in the present moment with people, we're sometimes so much looking, experiencing through the filter of the thoughts we have, the things that we want, what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, and what we're trying to get, what we're trying to explain. And it's all about something. We want to. It's about what we want or what we don't want. It's an about. And it's not wrong to do that, but if that's the only thing we do, then we're kind of caught up in the dense growth of the forest. Like really, everything's tight in and close in, and we don't see any space. But if we can, sometimes it's possible to tune in to that which is not the world of aboutness, to have the attention notice the absence of concerns, the absence of object, and the absence of self, of subject, of the one who's doing the thinking. And so sometimes it's possible, something like meditation can do this sometimes, where it's kind of comparable to standing in this grove of redwood trees and noticing the space that's there. And somehow the perception rests in that empty space where it's not about anything. It's not, you can't, you know, like if you look at empty space, you can't really focus your eyes on it. You know, that doesn't really, if you try to focus on your eyes, that doesn't work. And but if you try to unfocus, you know, that also makes, that's too much. So there's a kind of a, something in between of not doing anything. It's just kind of, you know, taking it in. And I find myself, like when looking at the empty space of this room, that, like, you know, as soon as I fixate my eyes or hold them still, it makes it difficult. But I kind of almost have to let my eyes kind of gently flow and move and look around. And then it's kind of in that ease and relaxation of, then it somehow the space becomes more highlighted and it's nice. So the idea of an unfixated mind, a mind that's not concerned with an aboutness of something, and where there's space, where there's freedom, from preoccupation, freedom from always being about something. You know, if we step back and if we're able to do the statistics or the math, you know, and count how many times our primary concern is about something, it would start feeling old. It would be like, wow, there must be something else to do in this life than always be thinking about something. You know, if every thought you had just was, you know, started and ended with the preface about, da 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 da, about. You know, you really saw that you're always thinking of, after a while, it doesn't matter what you're thinking about. It's like, one more time? No matter how interesting it is, like, I'm going to think about something again? Give me a break. There's a lot of aboutness. I'm just living in a sea of aboutness. It must be more than just being about things. And there is, and so this space, and so in this Buddhist tradition of ours, there's a big focus on what's called not self. And it's not so much that there is no self, that's not the claim at all, so you don't have to get worried about that there is no self, but it's kind of recognizing that, kind of like, oh, that redwood tree is not the self, or that redwood tree is not the non-aboutness. That redwood tree is not the non-aboutness. That redwood tree is not the place to fixate on. That's not this. So you kind of see everything your eyes can land on, your perceptions can see that's an aboutness, a thing to focus on. That is not really the self. And so it isn't then to find something which is a true self, but rather it's to stop looking at the trees and feel the empty space. And that's not self. In a sense, it's not self, but it's also, it doesn't really belong to the world of self or not self. The mind is not concerned about self or not self anymore. Because all this thing about the idea of self and not self, that's more aboutness. But one way to get there is, oh, that's not self. That's not self. And then start seeing the space between it. The space between our thoughts, the space between our sensations, the space between where the mind fixates and looks at, and the space between ideas. And that thought is not self. That emotion is not self. I'm not disowning it. I'm not saying it's, you know, dismissing it exactly. But, I'm not taking it as being, this is the essential me, this is what represents me, this is what defines me, this is where I'm going to solve me and my problems. It's just a thought that arises. And to be able to say, oh, that's not me. That's not me. So I'll give you an example. I've done this before because I'm not very creative. I don't have new examples. But you'll get the idea of, you know, that you can have a thought, and chances are very good that you can recognize this thought as just a thought that arises, and it's not you. It's not going to define you. It's not going to be your choice to have this thought. It's not your will. It's just a thought that arises, and very free. It's just, you know, and you get the ease in which it arises. And when we do it this way, I'll say this. The hills are alive with the sound of think for those of you who know that song, you probably filled in, right? No, you didn't fill it in? No, that was pretty remarkable. Congratulations. So, but you know, most people, they fill it in with music, the word music. Now, is that word music popping up in your head, was that me who put that in your head? You know, is it my thought that goes in you? No, we don't say that, please. But is it you, that thought? No, that's not you. That doesn't define you. It's just that's just kind of like filling in by association. But what if everything's for a little while is like that? Whatever thought you have, even a thought like, oh, this is me, just, oh, that's not me either. That thought, you know, and anything you're about, that's not me. There's a sound, there's a reaction, there's a feeling, there's an emotion. And it's not simply to dismiss it, but kind of to begin helping the mind not be so concerned and step back and begin finding or feeling or sensing the freedom or the space or the ease or the place where the mind doesn't fixate on something. In between. Or the turns out we actually live all the time in this large redwood clearing. And we're, you know, too often focused on the trees. Some of the trees are majestic, some of the trees are scrawny, and there are all kinds of trees. But, you know, just because the majestic ones are majestic doesn't mean we should prioritize them all the time. There is another way of being. And so one of the things to do in meditation is to sit quietly and see if you could kind of begin not leaning into or fixating or focusing on anything in particular as being the point, or to be about something. Even if you follow your breathing, it's a good thing to follow your breathing, but it can be one big about storm to be with your breath. The breath has to be, that breath was not long and slow and deep enough, and that breath was not, you know, I didn't really follow the breath all the way, and you know, I missed a couple of breaths because I was thinking, and I need to come back to the breath. That's all worlds of aboutness, and you can get caught and lost in that world, and you know, and there's no exit kind of sometimes. But if you say, if you step back, say, oh, that's about. Let's not be about that. Let's not be about that. Not that. Not that. That's not self. That's not self. That's not what. And then at some point begin to see or perceive or sense that there is space. There is an absence. There is a gap. That's not inconsequential. But in that absence or that gap or that space, there's a feeling that you can breathe in there. Like, that's a place you can, like, catch your breath, or there's breathing room, or there's peace, or there's space, or there's ease or freedom, or there's, some people call it independence, the sense of being independent from all those trees and all the world of aboutness. Ah, finally. And it's a great thing to experience, because without that, some sense of that, the only alternative is to just continue swimming in the ocean of aboutness. It's a fine ocean, but you don't always be swimming in it. You know, it's kind of exhausting. So to have some other sense, to have some kind of, I don't know, third sense or fifth sense or seventh sense or something for the space or the absence or that capacity of attention to dwell in without fixating or being about anything. And it's a hard lesson to learn because of the very strong habit we have that are we going to somehow take care of our life or get what we need in our life by rearranging the world of aboutness. So, may you find the space that's in the middle of all things, middle of your redwood grove. Thank you.